Hey guys, it's Doug Wilder, part of the AnimeCons TV staff. This is our footage from the very first time we've done an AnimeCons TV live event. It was held at Anime Next 2018, and I just want to give you guys a couple few quick notes before we get into the actual footage. We got a slightly smaller room than we were expecting, just kind of the way the schedule worked, to make sure that there was a room space available and that we could have all our guests come. Not a big deal. But because of that, we only had one angle to go off of. I didn't want to set up a second camera and potentially take up space that could go to someone that wanted to attend in the audience. Speaking of the audience, thank you to everyone that came once again. You'll notice partway through Vince Avarello, the con chair for Anime Next, who was one of our guests, took a phone call and had to go deal with something else at that time. We're not going to hold that against him because it's being a con chair while the convention's going on. Things happen. You got to go put out fires. It is what it is. I hope we'll be able to get him back on part of the podcast in some form or another in the future. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we can talk to him at a convention where he's not staffing it, so we have a little more time. I want to thank Vince as well as John and Lauren from Gunpla 101 once again for joining this, especially since this was the first time we did the live event. And again, this was our first time doing this, so we wanted to give it a try, see how it goes. We're going to be looking for feedback on this one, so if you sit through, watch this, let us know what you think. We want to see how we can improve it and see if this is an event that we can bring to other conventions. You can just send us notes at podcast@animecons.tv, and yeah, we'll see how it goes. Once again, my name is Doug Wilder, and we'll leave it from there. Roll it.
Welcome to AnimeCons TV Live. First time we're doing this show.
Woo!
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 Yeah! Alright. So, we are at Anime Next 2018. We're going to see how this live show goes. It's a big experiment. First idea of it. We've got people in the audience, so we're going to start the show. First off, my name is Doug Wilder. I'm part of the podcast staff of AnimeCons TV. And if you guys want to mention me on Twitter, I'm @Nigoki. And yeah, let's get started. So first off, a little bit of an introduction. AnimeCons TV, what is it? We are a weekly video podcast. We are part of AnimeCons.com, which if you don't know is a database that kind of retains information about conventions, things like that. We've had some old photographs. We do things like interviews with VIP guests, like there's one we've done with Chris Ayers. We do con reports, such as Anime NYC. And we do things like cosplay help, like helping people like learn about different things for how to do things in costume, and a whole bunch more. That is the person who runs it, Patrick Delhanty. Every year he does a report on the 10 largest anime conventions in North America, and kind of talks about how the trends change and things like that. So we're a podcast that's kind of a catch-all for things that are anime convention related, and we also kind of branch out beyond anime. So now that I've introduced myself, let's go down and welcome our guests. Who are you, sir? Introduce yourself.
I'm Vince Averillo. I am the con chair of
I'm Lauren Orsini. I'm a guest panelist at Anime Next 2018.
And I'm John Bowers. I am also a panelist guest at NX 2018, and we're here because we run a Gunpla blog.
It's called Gunpla101.com, and our mission is to show everyone that they can build Gundam plastic models.
You don't have to be an expert.
Yes.
To enjoy building Gunpla.
And we're not.
Definitely not.
So, since this is a live version of our show, we're going to do a little bit of kind of an interview like we've done with some of our guests before. So, we've got a couple of questions that we're just going to start for the discussion. First off, we're just going to go down the line. What was your first fan convention experience?
Godzilla convention in a hotel ballroom. It's the entirety of the convention. Dealers room, paid autograph. And, tiny as hell, but just do it.
The first time I found out about cons, I was 14. I could not believe this was a real thing. I told my mom I wanted to go to one. She was horrified that this was a thing that existed. Because, you know, back then, Blockbuster kind of put all the anime together, whether it was for adults or for kids. So, no, but, like, it was really hard to talk to parents about what anime was.
Totoro, the blue girl. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, Totoro, the blue girl,
yeah.
Basically. It's like you looked into like my childhood because those were really the shows. So I asked my parents if I could go. I saved up all my money. I had enough to go. I still didn't get their permission. I got it. My friend's parents said they would go with us even. In order to get me from like sneaking out of the house and going to it anyway, my mom had us all go on a spontaneous road trip. My sister threw up all over the car, and that always reminds me of how I wish I could have been at Otakon that day. I didn't get to Otakon until I was 18.
So when I was a sophomore in high school, my parents decided I should go to a youth leadership retreat for becoming a lawyer, for like future lawyers. And it happened to be at Tyson's Corner. And
it's like a suburb of Washington, D.C.
Right. And we were there, and it was like a 4 or 5 day thing. You go and like you go speak to lawyers, and you go through all this different like stuff. And that weekend I learned I didn't want to be a lawyer. But about Friday morning, I wake up, and you know, we have planning for the day, but I go downstairs in the hotel, and there are all these people in costume. And of course, at this point, I had been an anime fan for 4 years already or so. So I knew what was going on, but everybody else was so confused. And apparently, that just happened to be the same weekend as Anime USA. So my first experience was not being able to go to the con, but watching from afar and being like, I wish I was there, instead of going and learning about how life as a lawyer works. Because that was, I learned, I didn't like that. The first time I really got to go to a con was Otakon 2007. And it's the only time I've cosplayed. No, that's not true, but like it's one of the very few times I've cosplayed. And
what did you cosplay?
Yeah, you can't leave us hanging.
I was Tamaki from Orin High School Host Club.
Oh, there you go.
So it was a good time, and I got a lot of photos taken. It was fun, but yeah, that was my first real experience, and Otakon has changed so much since then. Mm-hmm.
One of the questions we always ask, because everyone seems to have a lot of it, is what's something you wish more conventions would do, like a good habit or something they do for programming, something like that? What was something you'd like to see them do more of?
That's good. He's made this against his panel.
Any other thoughts?
Also, my brain's a little toasty.
You're a little busy as much.
Do you want to go third?
Yeah.
Right, please, please, yeah.
Okay, because I've got something.
There you go.
When I was thinking of this question, I was thinking about my favorite convention, Anime Boston. Do you agree, Doug?
I might be a little biased, but I am a fan.
I'm a big fan of Anime Boston. I was trying to think about what makes Anime Boston such a great
David!
Damn! And I realized they outsource stuff to the professionals. You'll have like a bunch of kids running security. You have actual security guards. You have crowd control, that they outsource that.
Their check-in system is outsourced.
The registration, yeah.
Registration.
After the infamous LineCon in 2000.
Yeah, I mean they learned from their LineCon. And they realized, you know, we need to leave this to the pros. I think that was a really good idea. I think a lot of cons do not do that. And maybe they should think of it. Like, sometimes a con gets to a certain size, and it really needs to think, oh, I need a little help. I can't do this alone to make the best experience for attendees.
Yeah, and I think one thing that, again, Anime Boston does really well is they advertise during the con the activities that are going on at the con. So they have a Tumblr and like a week, a daily paper basically that they call Con Chowder, which is like their events of the day. And I think that gets attendees like really fired up for what's like scheduled. I think it's a really smart idea that I haven't seen anybody else do. Every con has its pros and cons. Sorry, no pun intended. Yes. but I think they do a very good job at Anime Boston, and you know, I've seen good and bad cons. So
we're just standing Anime Boston.
Yeah. This is also our first Anime Next, so after this year, we'll have more to say, like more to judge.
Mm-hmm.
Quality.
Yeah, like this year we added the flat panel screens in the hallways, which are basically reading off of our guidebook data directly live. So when those schedules change, it changes on the screens out there. And they're trying to add a live news, someone sitting in a studio talking. But we're trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. You interestingly mentioned like someone in a studio talking. It was very interesting to me. This year I was watching one of the video game tournaments, and for the semifinal and final matches of it, they actually had people kind of streaming it and doing commentary, which is something I hadn't seen before in the video game tournament.
Yeah,
okay. And so I guess on the other side of the coin, what's something you wish fewer cons would do? If it's a pet peeve or a major thing, or something that sticks out to you guys?
Honestly, I haven't had that many negative con experiences. There's only been a couple times where standing in line for hours, I mean, I think it was KatsuCon, I don't remember which one, but they wrapped the line through the basement of the Hyatt, and like, literally you're going through the parking deck, so your cell service was terrible. And the line was like 3 hours, and it was a real mess. I think the computer systems went down two or three times for them for registration. That might have been Anime USA. They shared the same hotel for a couple of years, so I'm not sure which one it was. But that's always a negative. I think the biggest thing for me is I think conventions need to... I've seen a lot of conventions that start to try to branch out because they kind of lose focus on, hey, we're an anime convention. And it's important, I think, to remember like that keep your vertical slice. Focus on what you do really well, and then let other stuff grow, but you know, remember that where the roots are.
On the other hand, I think sometimes anime conventions can become too purist. There might be things that attendees, especially young attendees, are really into, and the older people who manage the con might not be open to because they just don't get it. The way that the way that webcomics sometimes become really big. I know that right now Steven Universe is huge, Voltron is huge, and they're not like anime per se, though they are both anime inspired. And I know that every con has a different policy about what to do about that. Yeah, they really have to walk a line, because if you embrace too much of that, you're not an anime con anymore, you're a multi-genre con. But if you go too narrow and you're like, we're only gonna do Macross because we're all old fans, then you lose touch with the younger fans who we really count on to keep anime conventions going.
Yeah, like, to pile on to that point, we keep saying things to people like, well, what about K-pop, like, last I checked? Not Japanese, hence it starting with the K. Like, you know, we're not a pan-Asian entertainment kind. It requires to change our name.
That's, yeah. Especially like conventions that have anime in the title.
Yeah.
It's on the label, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen a couple of conventions, I can't remember which one it was, but they've over the years have merged to become, what was the one in New York? This is...
I don't remember its name, but it's New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con, and now the Anime Con in New York is just like a corner of that.
It was its own New York Anime Fest. It was its own convention.
Yeah, and now they're the Anime Ghetto.
Then it became a specific programming track, and then it just kind of completely merged into the convention.
Yeah, it kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
So I think like. Got to walk the fine line of keeping your identity, but also embracing things that are changing.
So next up, if you guys have a favorite convention memory, a good phrase that I like to ask people about this, just even friends in general, kind of a crowning moment of awesome or something. So it can be an embarrassing thing that you've owned, whatever you want, go for it.
You first, my mic's still
This is a really hard question because there's so many memories of conventions that I have, but to say like one specific one that stands out to me, I think most of the best times I've had at conventions are really outside of like the programming, but like hanging out with people that maybe I only get to see two or three times a year and get to meet up with at conventions, getting to talk to people that about things that I really enjoy but don't really get to talk about much in the real world, like outside of the convention.
No one wants to hear about it.
It's always good to like have that outlet. I wish I had like some great one moment that like really stood out, but I can't really pinpoint any one thing. It's just kind of just a long list of like really fun times.
I mean, I have a few. One I was thinking of was when you took me to the formal ball when we had just started dating. So this was like a decade ago.
That was Katsucon, right?
Yeah, that was an early Katsucon. I think Katsucon 2007.
Yeah, I don't even know if they do formal balls anymore. But it was Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah.
We had one last night.
we're a little older now, so. We've grown out of that.
Well, you just...
Also, I don't like dancing.
Yeah, and I never knew. I didn't know how rare that was.
How
that you took me to the formal ball, because right. I've never seen you dance since. And also...
I feel like I'm getting called out.
Another one I really liked was when I went to Anime Boston, and I got to interview Nobuo Uematsu.
Oh, wow.
I asked him about his favorite... I asked him about his favorite cosplay. If he could cosplay anything, he said he would cosplay as a chocobo.
Yeah.
Really?
Can you imagine Nobuo Uematsu, the composer of many Final Fantasy games, just in a chocobo costume?
That sounds amazing.
No, I didn't, but...
So, it's one of those things, too, because, like, I feel like it's one of those things that the celebrity, like, you wouldn't realize that it's the him in costume and just be like, oh, it's another cosplayer. And then it's like, wait a minute.
One second.
Part of being the contrary is
having
to deal with stuff. Don't worry.
Yes, he's the most important person in the room.
Yeah, he's the most important.
Or the
most important man in New Jersey. So, just kind of while we kill a little bit of time too, it's like there are so many memories that I have that are like moments that'll always be ingrained in me. Some of them are like, just, oh my god, I can't believe I did that thing. You know, either good or bad, or just like, wow, I can't believe I did that thing. As like, I was so young and stupid. I remember there was one of the first years I went to Otakon, getting a gun. There was a specific Gundam figure that I really wanted, and this was in the days before most dealers could take credit cards at their booths. So I had to run out of the dealer's room, run to the ATM, take out $40 because that's how much that figure cost. Run back in and give it for the freaking Devil Gundam, which if you've ever seen the Devil Gundam. Original form. It looks like a giant crab lobster thing with a Gundam on top, a torso on top. It's super weird. So, which I guess can kind of lead into kind of the next question I'm going to say, which is, you know, what's something you would tell your younger self about anime conventions? Like, kind of something you wish you had learned earlier on, things like that.
This is interesting to me because conventions have changed a whole lot since we were younger. I feel like what people go to conventions for has kind of changed. When I was younger, I don't mean that I'm saying that, I'm not that old, but you know, even like a decade ago, Amazon wasn't as entrenched as it is now. eBay couldn't find the same stuff you can find there now. So I would literally be scouring the dealer's room for things that I maybe had never seen before. And now as an adult who has more disposable income, it's the exact opposite. It's like I can afford everything basically that I'd want in the dealer's room, and now I don't want to go there. Because like it's all available. You can find it on eBay, you can find it on Amazon. Like it's all already out there. So what I'd say for my younger self is spend more time in panels, spend more time going to events, seeing the stuff that you can really only get at the convention. And I'm sure that also has changed with the younger people, what they're doing now. I sometimes feel like I can't really connect with them either, so I don't know that I can give them the best advice, but I'd say try different things. It's amazing what you'll learn about in panels, and like you might discover a show that you never even, like, didn't have any clue existed. I've had a couple of experiences like that where it's just been stuff that I didn't know about, and been way happier now that I have learned about at labor and a bunch of other stuff. So
yeah, I guess I'd want to go back in time and tell my younger self that sharing a hotel room with eight other people may seem like a real good way to save money, but it's not worth it.
Eventually, the amount you save per person doesn't pan out.
Yeah, when I was in college, I was the president of the anime club, and we would send people to Otakon and Katsucon and Anime USA. And one year, I don't know what happened, somebody messed up somewhere, and we ended up getting like one hotel room for 20 people, and that was a nightmare. I did not actually participate in that, so like I had set something up or I was hanging out.
No, you slept on the floor of my hotel room, which only had like five or six people.
Way better than 20 here. So I walked into that room and like saw it and immediately closed the door and turned around. I was like, no, that's not happening. That's a disaster.
It amazes me how many people I've met have said that, you know, they were part either, especially people that seem to have lasted in the anime fandom, so to speak, were like in charge of their local anime club, either in high school or college, and have that story of like, we were the club and we shoved this many people into the room and things like that. It seems that it's one of those common stories that you hear from so many people. it's a challenge, like, looking back. Like, I look at like some of the stuff I spent money on in the New York room, and like, I still love that figure that I just mentioned, but there's other things that's like, oh, I bought that and never touched it again.
Yeah, but since we're on the topic of that, yeah. You know, when John was president of the anime club, we put on our own con.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was not big and not well attended, but
yeah,
we held one, and it was a multi-format club because we were the anime club, and we also had a film club and a science fiction club, and we're like, okay, what can we do? Because we don't get any love from the school, so like, how can we get the school to appreciate us a little bit more? So we were like, all right, what if we organize some one-day or two-day event where we do just screenings of different films, anime, and science fiction? I think a lot of Doctor Who. And I guess it's still going. I mean, every so often we hear that they've put on another one. So
yeah.
That's a pretty good success then.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they do it every year, but maybe every other. Sometimes 2 years in a row. But it gave me so much respect for people like Vince, because it is no easy thing to put on a con. Even if like 50 people attend. It might have been more than 50.
It was kind of like people would come and go throughout the whole day. So like, sometimes there would be zero people there, and sometimes there would be, between classes, some people would show up. I think, you know, an interesting thing is, Lauren and I have been on all sides of the con experience. We've been staff at cons, we've been guest at cons, and we've been attendees. We've been press. So, you know, like, it's interesting to see all sides of it. And I think younger people probably don't appreciate, because at times things can go wrong, a fire alarms go off, then security is a pain, Right, and I think the younger attendees maybe don't appreciate just how much effort and sacrifices are made by the people
maybe
who run
cons. Maybe they shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, because when I was a young attendee at cons, it seemed like it was just magic that made the con happen.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't want them to like necessarily have, yeah, I think that feeling like, you know, the Disney World feeling, right? Everything just works, they've got it down to the science, they know what they're doing.
Now I feel like it's our duty to give younger attendees that experience that we experienced.
Yeah, the magic of conventions.
Like, it was so amazing to see like panels on anything, any topic you could think of. And that's one of the reasons I like to give panels now.
Yes, it's interesting. I've reflected on this some too, is like the life cycle of a con attendee. Like when you first go, like everything's new and exciting, and then a couple of years you're like, oh, I've seen this all before and I don't want to go to dances anymore. And like,
well, the thing is, if you and I just went to a con, we actually tried this, if we just went to a con and we had nothing to do, like we were not panelists, we were not press, we were not volunteers, we would be bored out of our minds.
It is so weird to do that now.
Yeah.
Last time we did this was like, I'd say like 6-7 years ago. Like it was our first con where we both had full-time jobs. We got a hotel room, it was just both of us. And we spent way too much money because we're like, we have disposable income, we're adults.
Right.
And that was what we did for fun. That's no way to spend a con though.
Yeah.
That's not, yeah.
That gets boring pretty fast too, where you're like, oh, I don't, you do that once or twice and you're like, oh, I guess this is the con experience now. And then I think you grow into being the person who's like, well, I've enjoyed going to cons for years, now it's my duty as an older otaku to help the new guys find their way. And sometimes I think we do a good job of that, and sometimes I think we don't. But it's kind of interesting to get older in the con scene.
Which, that's a really good transition for the next question, is what can we do to nurture the next generation of anime fans?
Yeah, this is definitely something we've thought a lot about. In fact, John and I have gone to speak with young anime fans, as young as, like middle schoolers. We went...
You were invited to speak.
Yeah, we went to speak to a group of kids on the neuroatypical scale, and all their parents were there, which was wonderful, because as you know from my experience, not being able to convince my mom to let me go to Otakon.
Parents still don't get it.
Yeah.
They still don't get it.
And
someday they will.
I've gotten, well, because I write for Forbes about anime, people know me as an anime expert, or like older people,
yeah.
Because older people tend to read Forbes. And so I get emails every now and then from parents, which is fantastic. This guy wrote to me and he was like, my daughter is 13 years old and she's really into anime. She loves to draw pictures of her favorite characters. However, I'm not sure if this is a bad influence on her. I've heard that some anime can even be porn. And I'm wondering what I can do to make sure that my daughter stays on a good path, like an age-appropriate path. And I'm so glad this guy went to me. I'm the perfect person. Because I love anime, and I'm old, and I can also give it to him straight. Yes, there is some anime that has porn in it. And obviously that's not what you want your daughter looking at, but that's very unlikely that what she is looking at. And one thing you should do is encourage her to talk to you about her favorite anime, watch anime together so you can see what she's interested in. And I mean, when people say, oh, but some anime is porn, when parents say this to me, I'm like, yeah, well, some movies are porn too. But does that mean you don't let your kid go to see The Avengers? Okay, maybe you want The Avengers. Okay, but it doesn't mean you don't let your kid go see any movies.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's part of it. And then part of it, I think, is we also have to let this generation of anime fans, like, go through the process that we went through. Like, there's often times of thinking, like, we need to do stuff for the younger people. But I think part of it is I mean, we don't need to make them understand what it was like when we were watching anime, when we were...
Back in my day.
Back in the day.
Get off the lawn.
Like, you didn't have to trade VHS tapes or download stuff at, like, 2 kilobytes.
That doesn't make us better fans.
Right.
Yeah.
I love how convenient things are today.
Yeah. And honestly, that maybe the convenience is great, but it also makes it maybe too much. So I think the best thing we can do is like maybe help give people some direction and be like, hey, you liked that show, here's another good show.
I've had so many good experiences like that from attending panels as a younger fan, where someone said, you know, to use an example, oh, you liked Zeta Gundam, check out Aura Battle or Dunbine, and now that is like one of my favorite shows, and things like that. And it's not cramming down people's throats. It's a suggestion. You like the X, you might like Y.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to approach it.
A funny thing that Lauren says about herself sometimes is that she's the filter for anime for our friends.
I say the anime oyster. Yeah.
Because
I'll watch like 10 anime a season, or at least the first 3 episodes of 10 anime each season when I'm reviewing these for Anime News Network. And then I will tell John maybe 1 or 2 of those, 2 at the most.
It's true, and you guys, you also brought up panels, and that's something I think it's an interesting transition because people do often become panelists, I don't want to say the expert because so many of us are always saying we're always learning new stuff, and we find different niches that we're into and stuff like that, but you become the person to pass it on, things like that, and you kind of realize that you encourage people like try new things, try paneling, try making new costumes, try your hand at art, try making an AMV, things like that.
Yeah, staff at convention,
yeah.
Do different things.
Yeah, I guess what we're all talking about is that the number one thing to tell the next generation of anime fans is to match what we're doing and be very welcoming. I mean, you don't want to be like, oh my god, you've never seen Gundam Zeta, you're not a real fan. You should be really excited. You should be like, okay, Gundam Zeta is amazing and I'm so excited that I get to be the one to tell you about it.
Yeah.
You don't want to shame people. You don't want to gatekeep.
Exactly. That's a really good word about this. Avoid the gatekeeping thing.
And one other thing I want to say about the next generation of anime fans, who maybe are like maybe in high school, maybe in middle school, maybe still like not really sure what the future holds for them yet. Anime can take you places. Like, going to conventions, getting to know people, like, putting yourself out there. I know a lot of people, like me, who were the president of a club. And that seems like kind of dorky, and maybe people don't think you're cool right now, but I'll tell you, later in life, you'll look back and be like, oh, that was a good experience, right? I can put this on my resume, even though it's weird, and say, hey, I did this.
He actually did put it on his resume for his first job, which had nothing to do with anime.
And yeah, I got some weird looks in the interview, but like they're like, you know, like first you told us you did this, right? You put in effort, and like, what did that mean? Like, what did it mean to be the president of the club? And so you open up those conversations of, hey, I got to do these different things. Like, I got to build skills and communicate with people. Manage some of the finances and talk about like how do we keep this club going. So all really cool things that you can get experiences that like maybe you wouldn't get otherwise. And I think this is like anime fans is a community that has changed a whole lot since when I was a teenager, but I still think there's an element to it of being kind of like the loner or not really the most outgoing individual. And I think the good thing about conventions and other like club activities is they give you that opportunity to kind of develop that
friendships in a safe space.
Right. You don't have to be an extrovert, but like it lets you open up a little bit more and kind of see like, hey, there are a lot of other people like me in the world and like they're cool and I want to know them more and also develop all these skills that people will care about.
Yeah, I feel like if you have social anxiety, a con is a great place to start exercising your social muscles. Like, we just talked to somebody in the hallway and had a good conversation, because you know, you're not starting at, here's a stranger with nothing in common. You know that, here's a stranger, I don't know them, but I know we have at least one thing in common.
It's fascinating to me too, and something I've seen a lot of people with people I know is, I know people that have seen them when they've done their very first panel, and now I've seen them like when they're like doing their 10th panel, their 20th panel, and like I barely recognize the person because they've gotten so much better about it. They've learned to practice, they've learned how to add things to their panel to make the content better, and things like that. And it's really neat to see, especially when it's a friend of yours or something. And it's, I mean, I've had co-panelists that I've had where they've, and not to pat myself on the back too much, they told me, I've got the confidence to do a panel on my own because you dragged me on. And it's so neat to see. It's like kind of the, this is someone I, you know, whether I went to or not, I became a bit of a mentor and encourage them to like be passionate about what you want. And some of these people are doing panels on topics I would have never even imagined. And I now want to go to that panel, not to be on it, but just to be in the audience. And that's so neat to see, is people taking the ball and running with it. And a lot of what I think people also need to be doing is understanding that the fandom keeps evolving. It's never going to be the same way it was when you were in high school, when you were in college. It's going to change, and that's still okay, and there's still a place for you, even if it's not the same place that you had before, there's still a place for you.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't that great back in that golden age you remember, and maybe it just seems great because you were discovering anime for the first time. I always say that the anime golden age, the golden age of anime was whenever the person talking first started watching anime.
Yeah.
It's a very personal thing.
Okay. We're going to shift gears a little bit here, and I'm going to take over Vincent's part because he had to go and take care of something.
Put out a fire.
Hopefully a metaphorical. No, the alarms aren't going off, so that's a good sign. Well, this now gives me an excuse to steal my But we've got a little bit of a game coming up, and so we're going to grab some people from the audience to join us. So it's now time for a game that we're calling, what's this panel really about? So, one of the things we do on AnimeCon's TV, me and myself personally, is we talk a lot about writing a good panel, writing a good description, having a title that makes sense. Because when you open the program guide, if you look at it and see this title, and you have no idea what it is, when you're just looking at the schedule, you're probably just going to skip it, even if it was something that was going to be interesting to you. You have no idea what it's about. Keep reading. So it's something I've become a big proponent of and stuff like that. And sometimes you just see some of these panels and you're like, what was this person thinking? So these, what we're going to do, we're going to have two people come up from the audience. They're each going to get two sets of panel descriptions, and they're going to get the title and three possible descriptions. And you have to guess which one is. If you get both right, we're going to give you $10 to Write Stuff, which, if you haven't used, WriteStuff.com is a great place to buy anime. They are not a sponsor. I just know it's a good place to go for anime stuff.
I buy stuff there too.
Yeah.
They're not paying me to say that.
Yeah. If they want to give us money later on, that's cool, but this is not, they're not a sponsor. So we're going to go from that. That's about it. So who wants to come up first? Raise your hand. All right, come on up. You get to stand, yep.
Is this Shodo?
This is the AnimeCon's TV live panel.
Oh, I'm in the wrong seat.
That's fine.
Sorry, I'm sure yours is very good too.
No worries. All right. So, all right, if you want to wave to the folks at the home on the camera, that'd be fine. What is your name?
Aries,
okay. So, the first panel we have, and we'll read the instance. This is a panel that was held at CastleCon 2017. So, this panel was literally titled "One Hell of a Panel." So, let's see. The first possible answer is it A, see us discuss different versions of the afterlife as depicted in anime?
Is it B?
A discussion panel about Kuro Shinsuji, or Black Butler, bringing in everything from anime to manga to floating theories.
Or is it C?
Join us for our retrospective on the infamous anime Hellsers.
Oh no.
And B Hell.
And B Hell.
Alright, which one do you think it is? A? I'm sorry, it was actually B.
I knew it.
Oh. But,
you know,
yeah, because that's he's one hell of a butler.
Yeah, but if you don't know the anime, where are you going to go?
It's a ploy on.
Yeah,
his term is I'm a demon of a butler.
Yeah.
It's always translated to I'm one hell of a butler.
Okay, well,
that's a pretty good.
Don't worry, you still got another chance to see. All right, so the next one, Iron Shonen. This was held at Anime USA 2011. I spent a few days going through all my old program guides, finding some of these titles. So first off, is it A? Who can brainstorm a great new shonen character the fastest? Our panelists race the clock with a surprise ingredient. Is it B?
Do you like the men in your manga to be extra manly? Do you like the toughest of the tough? Join us as we look at the history of the toughest genre.
Or is it C?
That which must not be seen. That which shall not be named. That which cannot be endured.
So, what's your choice? Alright, well, unfortunately, it was C.
What?
So yeah, I still have no idea what that panel was about. So yeah, not only should you have a good title, you should have a good description.
Were they taking people's eyes open? Maybe. the
first one at least was like a pun from the show.
Okay. Well, we thank you for playing. I'm sorry you didn't win, but we'll get our next guest up, all right? All right, so who's next? Raise your hand. Excellent. Come on up.
Oh, you picked really quickly.
I know. He had his hand up the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you ready for the next one? First off,
if it's that awful.
And what's your name?
Zach.
All right. So, we've got Advanced Gun Club Model Building Is Nothing Sacred 18+.
Is this one of your battles?
I wish.
All right. So, is it A? We want your Nether Gundam to have Nether regions? How about giving that build strike a full package? Wink. Come build adult-themed Gunpla. Or is it B?
Up your model building game, learn new techniques, and get a chance to start honing your skills to build the Gunpla of your dreams. Due to the use of hobby knives, minors cannot attend the panel.
Or is it C?
We have no idea what this panel is about, or why it was 18+. They never put a description in the program guide.
He's right!
Yay!
Yes.
All right. And yeah, for those who don't know, that is the Nether Gundam. It's from G Gundam. It is the Netherlands, so it's a giant windmill.
I just call it windmills.
It's definitely not a stereotype.
I want to know why it's 18+.
I want to know why it's 18+ too. This was, I don't think any of us attended this panel, so.
No. Is it like Gundam Girls or something?
Nobody knows.
Who knows?
Maybe someday somebody will run into somebody who went.
Maybe somebody listening to this podcast will tell us.
I would love someone to be able to tell me that.
They'll be like, excuse me, that was my
yeah,
panel.
If you could post that, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
Inquiry minds. All right, so next one up. All right, this one is called Calling All Kaijus, an otaku passive.
I attended this.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
So
you know the answer.
Yeah, I do know
the
answer.
Okay, so the first possibility is it A, Japan's Jewish population is small, under 9,000, but there's a fascinating interaction between cultures. Panel will be followed by an informal seder. Is it B?
Did you know Godzilla and other giant monsters of Japan have roots to the classic story of the Golem of Prague? Come learn the unusual story.
Or is it C?
The Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation once licensed the infamous, terrible Tokusatsu show, Redman, but it never aired. You think the show was weird before, wait till you see it dubbed in Hebrew.
All right, what's your pick?
I'll go with B.
Unfortunately, it was A, but you know what? That's what it is. So, but we have now some. We'll take my notes, but yeah. But you got one right.
I was there.
You were there. Yeah, I want to know about this panel.
Oh, this was a great panel. It was held by a Jewish anime fan. He was going through a slideshow of all the Jews in anime, like Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop, for example. He was kind of, you know, stretching it a bit. Yeah. And then afterwards, we went to the food court, had a steak.
That's awesome.
It was on Passover.
Yeah.
It was actually held on Passover.
Did they play the Adam Sandler song?
They did not.
No. So did.
But
I'd say you got one answer right. That's enough to win. So
yeah.
We'll get that to you right away. So we actually have a little bit of extra time still. So we're going to have an open question and answer. So if you guys have any questions you want to ask us about, like, convention culture, you know, the AnimeCons TV podcast, anything like that, fire away. Anybody?
I'm trying to think. I just know I saw you on TV.
Oh, cool, cool. Welcome. I got another fan.
It's just that, no, because you're in a room somewhere, and it's just, and then there's books behind you or something.
Oh, that is... When I record for the podcast and it's just me, that is me literally sitting in my bedroom with my DVD shelf behind me. That's what that is. And I think you can also see my old my stack of figures that I haven't built or put on display yet because it's ever growing.
I'm a con reviewer also.
But excellent.
The
excellent
thing is though, but I post it on Instagram. But I post everything on Instagram. I'm also a pharmacist. I do transportation stuff in New York City because it sucks, and I'm on TV on that as well. So I have a lot of hats. So the question I'm going to ask is, what do you look for in a basic con? Now I know what I look for, but you know, for people who want to make a con, for example. You know, I just met one who made J1Con. What do you want to? What are the aspects? The main aspects you want to put in?
I'm going to defer to kind of the founder of AnimeCons.com,
Patrick.
Patrick. His advice for starting an anime convention is don't. Even though he helped found two. The thing about starting a convention, and a lot of this is his point, but it's also mine as well, is one, there's so many conventions going on that it's hard to find a niche. The other thing is you have to be willing to commit over a year of your life to starting the first year. If you really want to make a convention work, you are spending a lot of time there. And you can't do it all on yourself, no matter how good you think you are. You're going to need help. So that's kind of, it's an easy thing to say, oh, well, it looks so easy. And where you've all staffed conventions, it's very easy to think, oh, this is easy because you don't see what's going on behind the scenes. And I think some of the best conventions are the ones that have stuff that goes wrong, because something will always go wrong no matter how good your convention is. It's how much the public sees it. I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. But cons definitely fail in public more often now.
Yeah.
Like
DashCon,
for example.
DashCon is a very public one.
But think about it. Like, if, like, Otakon, Anime Boston, these cons have like 30,000 attendees. They did not start with 30,000 attendees. They started with like 100 to 300. And when they were small, they failed a lot. When you're starting a con today, a lot of people, since anime and fandom are so much more popular, they have this tendency to get bigger than they can handle so fast.
Yeah, starting small is a huge part of it.
Yeah, so don't expect big turnout in the first year. I mean, I still mirror the advice, don't. But if you are dead set on it, make sure you have a lot of people that will help you do it. Don't try to do it all yourself, because I've seen multiple cons fail where it's like one person's dream and they're trying to get other people to help them and it just falls apart. The other part is, I think a lot of people miss the amount of funding you need to really run a convention. They're not cheap, and the first couple years, it's not going to be making you a lot of money, especially if your attendees are, you're getting like 1,000 people. So start small, don't expect a big turnout, and I think if you can specialize, like, that's a really good way to get a very narrow slice of people who would be very interested. But the problem is today, we're almost in a world where conventions are almost a dime a dozen now.
Yeah, and I think you hit on a good point of, you know, specialize, and that's something a lot of conventions can do, is kind of say, this is what makes our con unique. The challenge there is, sometimes if you hyper-specialize,
you can cut out a couple people and it's finding the right line. But yeah, starts small expectations. And you were talking about the cost. This is why many fan conventions are not for profit, because to make a con profitable is extremely difficult. So
yeah, it's really easy to overscope and overspend on guests, overspend on a lot of things. So I've seen that in numerous conventions over the years that have been grown and then shrank. So, I mean, you have your tentpole conventions, right? Anime Boston probably is going to be fine, not going anywhere. Otakon not going anywhere, like still getting 30,000 attendees.
Anime Next,
doing fine. And then you have like your second tier and third tier conventions. Like I would say Anime USA is the one I think about a lot, where I'm like, I'm not sure that convention is going to exist in 10 years. Because they've gone through a couple cycles of growth and then moves that maybe didn't pan out.
Every time a con starts spending more money in an obvious way, I get nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I start to...
Though honestly, Anime Next moved to Atlantic City, which I'm guessing was a pricey move, but it worked out for
him. Yeah, I mean, we'll have to get Vince back on here at some point. Mm-hmm. But it's like... this is the second year in this venue, I believe. Third, thank you.
2016, we...
Thank you. It's my second year since they moved to this venue. But this venue seems like a really good one, and it seemed like a risk because it's basically moving to the other side of the state. And I think because they've had such a good brand, such a good experience, people are willing to make that transition. And I'm curious to see, like, Otakon now that's going to have its second year in D.C., and it still seemed very successful last year. I'm curious to see how it's going to grow and everything like that.
I'm monitoring that too.
Yeah, it's risk is part of the game for any convention.
Yeah, and when conventions move is when I get the most worried about them financially, because that first couple of years after a move, so like when Katsukon first moved to the Gaylord, we were, as residents of Brown DC, our thought was, can they afford that? And is are the attendees going to turn out and make it work? And they did. So Katsukon's done really well.
Yeah, they branded very tightly around cosplay.
Yeah.
We sent some panels and they were all rejected. And I realized all the panels they accepted were about cosplay. Mm-hmm. The Gaylord is this very beautiful, very elaborate hotel with an indoor greenhouse and everything. It's just beautiful for cosplay. And by really, really doubling down into a very specific niche, they managed to survive even when those of us on the outside are like, oh, can they afford that really fancy hotel?
So the other thing is, like, when you move to a place, like, make that move, the question is, you know, not only can the convention afford it, but will the attendees want to pay the higher prices for hotels?
Yes, if they offer something at that con that nobody else offers, like Katsukon's cosplay experience.
Any other questions?
Yeah, it's actually related to Anime Next's move to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
So it was originally in Seacombs. Yeah. Then it moved to Somerset. Somerset, I don't know if any of you have been there, but it was kind of a mess.
I went to Anime Fan Fest New Jersey there after, and it was the year before Anime Next moved here. So I saw the venue, but not Anime Next there.
So that venue was actually split into four separate hotels?
Yeah.
And instead of some. So the line for getting just your tickets were out the door. It's about a mile. People were actually having heat stroke. It's pretty awful. But then I was afraid because they moved to Atlantic City, and the area is not that safe. You know, you move a couple blocks away from the Sheraton, and it starts degrading, and then it gets better as you get closer to the casinos. But so, what do you think about cons that perform moves that generally inaccessible areas? Atlantic City is not very accessible, whereas Secaucus.
Secaucus was right next to New York. Yeah.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. So neither is National Harbor, where Katsukon went.
It's
not on our metro system.
Yeah, yeah. But you have to take the bus.
We're from D.C., so
we have a lot of opinions about that.
Yeah.
So I'll say
you guys go ahead.
Yeah. again, why I brought up MAUSA in the first place is they moved into D.C. after being in Virginia, but near D.C. for a number of years, and that move, first, like, D.C. itself presents a lot of different problems because the nation's capital security is just elevated a lot.
Yeah, you can say goodbye to bringing a lot of kinds of cosplay props.
Right, they're very...
Like, at all.
Very security conscious, and there was concern at first when they were moving about, hey, can people even cosplay with masks outside, because DC is very concerned about people's faces being obscured. So, like, they had to work through that. And DC is one of those cities as well where block by block it can be very nice and then suddenly not very nice. So you gotta be a little careful, but the biggest issue there was not like safety reasons, but it was more most people driving into the city is terrible.
You can't park there. There are very few hotels around the new Otakon. And it's in a kind of a spotty part of town.
Yeah, so the convention center is massive.
It's getting
nice,
nicer all the time.
But the area of town is changing, so it's block by block, never, right? And there aren't that many hotels there, so I think their thought when they moved Otakon was a lot of people will stay on the metro line and the metro inn, which is convenient because the metro is right there, but that's still an additional hurdle that maybe people don't want to deal with. So,
I think part of it, like if you move or if you are in like area that might seem inaccessible, is this is where a lot of your pre-con promotion comes in, where you have like a website or stuff like, here's the map of the area, here's where the hotels are.
Here's all the ramen around Anime Boston.
Yeah, so
this is the thing that Anime Boston's done well, Otakon's done well, is they'll have the food listing of like, here's where you can go get food.
Yeah.
And that's so good.
Yeah, and like so half the time it's places you never even would have found.
Oh yeah, especially if you're not from the city that is like, I don't know, back when Otakon was in Baltimore, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Like it feels so long ago now, but like I don't know Baltimore that well, but you would get a good map of like, here's the different restaurants you want to go to.
I found one place and it was like the second to last year, or maybe 3 years before they moved out of Baltimore, I found a place like that was a really good breakfast joint that did like amazing chicken and waffles for breakfast. And I like basically after I found that out, I went there for breakfast every day for every Otakon until they left, and it was one of the saddest parts. But again, you promote that on your website. This is where your social media comes in. You direct people to the website. Hey, we've posted our food map, things like that. I wanted to bring up Anime Next because there is the Sheraton right there, but the other hotels are more spread out. This is where you say, hey, we've got the jitney, the shuttles running circuits between the hotels. So even if you're staying at this hotel, it's not that far to get up here and things like that. And this is informing your attendees of the benefits of the area. And I think that's really the thing, like that.
You know, if we want to get the West Coast in here,
go for it.
I was just at Crunchyroll Expo, which of course was very well advertised and completely managed by pros. It's a volunteers and it's a corporate con. They just had like 5 or 6 food trucks. They would have each day around lunch and then around dinner. Because,
that would be nice.
That was in San Jose, and I didn't have a car, and I didn't know how to get anywhere in San Jose. In fact, I had to. I came from SFO, and I had to take an Uber for an hour. Maybe not the most affordable con.
That was, as I have said that in the past, a lot of bad things about the 1 year I went to Anime Expo. But that is one thing I will get, is they had basically a parking lot across from the convention center that had to have at least a dozen food trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wide variety of stuff. And it was so it was like basically like going to like a food court at a convention where everyone could get something they wanted, sit down together and have their meal together, even if they were eating different things.
That was the nice thing about Somerset.
Yeah.
There was ramen place right down the road and a bunch of other places to eat. So here the food is very spread out.
Yeah. And I think, again, I'm enjoying Anime Next, but I think they need to advertise those a little more and stuff like that. I don't think it's a hard thing for them to do. I think it's something that's very doable.
Yeah, I think, you know, having worked on the worked at cons before. I think sometimes you get caught up in putting on your con, and sometimes you forget attendees are still humans, and they have to eat, and they have to do all these other things.
Well, even though they may forget.
Yeah.
I mean, this is me getting on a soapbox for a moment. That's always kind of one of those things that I get very opinionated about, and it kind of boggles my mind, is when someone joins a convention staff, whatever, for one convention, and then they join staff for this convention, and they never really go back to the attendee experience. And it's so easy to
forget. They get out of touch.
Yes. And it's kind of like, these attendees, how they don't know. It's like, well, go back, take a step back, think of it from the attendee experience. What is this going to be like? And, I mean, I go to cons as press most of the time, so it's like, yeah, I can skip this line, get to the front of this panel that I wanted to check out. I wanted to get press even for the concert, but sometimes I still say, you know what? I need to remind myself to take a step back, see what the dealer's room line is going to be like from an attendee or something like that. And you do kind of bring yourself back, but it also, you can kind of merge those two things as both a con staffer and an attendee. One of the examples I'll use is, Anime Next is very good about all their staffers wear bright colored t-shirts. They're not all the same, but they're all different colored t-shirts. If I need a staffer, I can find one almost instantly because I can see them. And if we're at other conventions, all their staff are wearing black t-shirts. You know how many nerds wear black t-shirts? I mean, this is maybe blue, but still, they are hard to find. So I think that's an important aspect too. But yeah, going back to the question of what do you do for a difficult area, I think it's really putting the information on the website, and I have to emphasize, emphasis on a website, not just a Facebook page. Have a website, because Facebook posts get buried and things like that. That way, you should be driving every, it's okay. You know, social media should be used, but it should not be your only platform. Drive people to your website.
Social media should be there to remind people. Be like, oh wait, sending this back out. Hey, here's our food map. It shouldn't be your only source.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it should be the branches, and then the trunk is the website. I just want to piggyback on that. What happens is that I'm an attendee, but I'm a little bit special. The reason why I say that is because I like to explore every single nook and cranny of the venue. I do that with every single con. I paid for it, I'm gonna make the most out of it. And I do, and even though it's my third time, I still do it anyway. And so I'll write the review on it. I post it on Instagram. And I go, I'm very critical about it, but I still have fun about it. The reason why I do these con reviews is because I want the con to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want to come next year. All right? I'm a pharmacist. I work Monday through Friday. I still work Monday through Friday. I love being a pharmacist, but, I want that other balance, which is the number two, which is being an otaku, being a cosplayer. And that's... So what happens is there's sometimes they miss... some cons, they don't have photo shoots. They don't have all the panels. So what I do is I go on the Facebook pages, I post it on my highlights. I create mini guides because I don't have all the time in the world, so I just create mini guides. They don't replace the website, but I make it by my own. I actually, it's like a meta-analysis. I get all the photo shoots of cosplay meetups. I put it on the highlights, that's part of the story for Instagram. I even post the maps there, but I did it in a more abridged, summarized form, because not everyone has all the information. I'll just post it up there. Especially with New York City, with the subway changes, I'll integrate that.
Yeah.
So, and then the other question is, since I'm a con reviewer, is there any way maybe I can, but I'm not sure if I'm going to do it, but, get into animecons.com maybe and then post your review.
You can send us an email, actually. Our email is podcast@animecons.tv. Yeah, and then that'll be in the next slide, too, once we get through that. But, yeah, send us a contact information.
So this kind of joins back in with the comments you were making earlier about getting more people access to anime conventions and anime. There is an economic gate, obviously, to moving to AC Special. Is there anything a con can do to make it easier for fans to get here?
Economically speaking,
that's it's a difficult question.
Yeah.
So,
but location is definitely, I feel.
Location is part of it. So what I kind of miss and what I think is just the nature of the business is that a lot of the lower cost cons don't survive for very long. So I wish there were some conventions that were, you know, not your tentpole cons. Like Otakon, I think the badge price, I haven't paid it in a couple of years because we've been panelists, is like $70.
No, it's 90.
Right, like I remember when it was 50.
Yeah.
And that was a stretch when I was like in college, right? That was not a cheap amount of money to just pay.
Yeah,
but when I was a journalism student getting my master's, I would apply as press to every con I wanted to go to.
Now, obviously, every attendee can't be press or else they'll go out of business.
Yeah.
But there are options for people. I mean, I think a lot of conventions offer tracks for, like, you show up and volunteer for a certain number of hours and you can get your badge and all. That doesn't really help with hotel.
But it does help the price.
Yeah, it helps a little bit. I really wish that, I mean, the one thing I'm so far that I don't think anime conventions have really been able to nail yet is, like, a lot of other conventions could get a lot of sponsors, corporate sponsors, and the anime industry just hasn't really...
There's not as many people to
yeah.
sponsor.
So well, you get Funimation, you get Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll puts on their own
cons.
Yeah. They don't want to... Well, they do sponsor a lot of cons, too.
But I think... But it's not the same as, like the IBM sponsoring, like, the major gaming industry, right? Or whoever, I don't know who people are anymore, but, like, they have a lot more money to throw around than iDot and Crunchyroll.
Yeah, I went to an Amazon conference for developers. It was free.
Yeah.
They fed us the whole time. I mean, Amazon has stupid money. They were trying to get the company I was with to buy something that was $10,000 a month. So
I would love to see more sponsorships so that maybe the prices on some of the badge prices and stuff could come down. But
can we get Amazon to sponsor us?
I think MLG is probably.
Yeah.
Especially now. You saw the Gundam versus battle yesterday was on Twitch.
Yeah. I think some of the ways they can do it too is like lessen the burden a little bit is, again, this is where, you know, your social media and your website come in handy, because almost every con now has that if you register before this date it's a lower price. Things like that. And really pushing those prices. And there's smart ways to think about when you have those price increases. Like, I've seen a lot of conventions, what they'll try and do is they will have, like, oh, our prices go up January 2nd. And you know what? A lot of people get, you know, money for, like, Christmas or the holidays or things like that. So they can still get in on that lower rate or, you know, buy it for somebody like that. That's the way to push it. Things like that. But another way you do it is if you're either on a budget, especially when you're younger, because you work in a part-time job, maybe you're in college, whatever, you don't have as much disposable income, so you can only maybe go to one or two con a year. But when you go to that con, I mean, I think we've all been that younger attendee, that this is the only con you're going to go to all year, or like one of the few ones, you are so much more amped for that con to come. And so if you interact with that attendee as a staff member, either on social media, in person, whatever, and they're like, I've been saving all year, I've been working, you know, my part-time job flipping burgers to make sure I could go to this con, you say, awesome, we are glad you're here, and you make it that experience as rewarding as possible for that attendee and things like that. The other thing they do is, you know, again, you know, share tips of like, here's where to go for cheap food, you know, and things like that. And that's when you, like, maybe not necessarily sponsorship, but you talk with some of the local eateries and stuff like that. Like, I saw one place that had done like a flyer drop that said, come in costume and you get free rainbow mozzarella sticks. I mean, I want to
I wish I had brought a costume to this convention so I could find out what rainbow mozzarella sticks are. But it's things like that, you know, find kind of places to just kind of push. And it's informing your attendees when you don't want to barrage them with information, but making sure the useful information is accessible helps a lot of people out.
Take advantage of roadblocks or any sort of savings you can get that way. That's important. And, you know, earlier we were saying, yeah, we had that rough experience in college where it was like 10 people in a hotel room. That's terrible, but, you know, if that's your only avenue, if that's your only way to afford it,
maybe five.
But don't be
more.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Be reasonable.
But right. Another thing you can also do is, just for hotel room blocks, you know, have forums on your website or something, which is kind of, unfortunately, a lot of cons aren't using those anymore, and it's weird, but have, like, hotel room stuff, because there are so many people that are like, I need a room, I have a room, things like that. That way you can share and stuff like that.
Sometimes you see that on Craigslist around Otakon.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you see some really other sketchy
things. Yeah, I see all kinds of stuff.
You gotta be careful
around
Otakon. I have another story related to the Nether Gundam, but that's not suitable for the podcast.
I'm sorry. You kind of can't post those types of things just as a just in case.
Yeah.
Liability reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So there is a little bit of careful, but it's encouraging attendees to look for that stuff. And maybe if you have, you know, a Twitter account or something, this is, I think, where social media can be really creative. Like, if you have a Tumblr and it's like, hey, you want to come to the con, but you're not going to be able to afford it, here's a really well-written article that's not anime-related, but it's about making a budget. Things like this. This is where you get your social media team to be creative. Things like that.
That would actually be a very useful thing. I don't think I've seen a con do that in years.
Yeah.
Like, put together, like, here's what the average food prices are around here. Or, like, here's, like, low, medium, and high tiers. So you know what you're going to be paying. Right? Because certain cities are more expensive than others. I'm sure Atlantic City is not the cheapest.
DC is, on average, higher.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, even, you know, I'm an adult with full paying, you know, real time, real job, and things like that. There are still cons that I don't go to that are easy enough to get to where I say, oh, I can't go there because I can't afford it. And it stinks because sometimes they have programming that I'm really looking forward to. But that's how it goes. So.
Yeah.
Affordability for an attendee is one of those few things that it's hard because there's not as much that the con can do.
It's funny too, because one of the things about becoming an older otaku is that when you're young, you have a lot of time and not a lot of money, and when you're older, you have a lot of money and not a lot of time.
Yeah.
So your choices become very different about, like, what do you want to put time into. Conventions do a pretty good job about, like, hey, this is what the convention offers, but they don't do a great job about, like, here's why you should visit this city. I don't think we touched on this at all earlier, but, like, conventions, like Anime Next, like Otakon, like Anime Boston, they bring in a lot of money for the cities themselves. Like, a lot of attendees show up, and the local businesses are very happy that, like, we're here. So, you know, like, there's partnership opportunities there, too. I know that that's a lot of work, but...
Yeah. And, I mean, this is where, like, a convention should get in touch, and this is, I guess, maybe a little too behind the curtains. But this is, you know, talk to you if you're a convention organizer, especially if you've been running a couple of years, talk to the local Chamber of Commerce, get an economic impact report, say, you know, because they do track that. And Atlantic City, I think, has been doing a really good job, at least as a city, for making Anime Next feel welcoming. You walk down the street, you see those banners on the street pole saying, "Welcome Anime Next." That's so cool to see. Baltimore had the same thing for Otakon, and it was so cool. And again, one of the things about Otakon needed to move out of Baltimore, it had grown, and the new convention center is a really good venue.
It's massive. Yeah.
But it was really heartbreaking to be going to, like, one of my favorite bars, I think Saturday night,
of the convention last year was in D.C., and the bartender just saying, we are really going to miss this. Not just because of the money, because we like seeing new costumes. It's a fun weekend for us. And seeing not just a venue, but the city, the location of the con, welcoming the attendees, because that is, plays such a factor in getting people back. So.
And you can tell, so like last year in D.C., first year for OtaCon, the city wasn't really, like, it was new to them, right? It was,
yeah.
It was, they have had cons before, and like a lot of stuff happened in D.C., but the local businesses and stuff around the convention center were not, like, they weren't properly prepared, I'll say.
They weren't prepared for late night.
Yeah. They weren't hostile towards the attendees, I would say they just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, and so what will be cool to see is over the next couple of years, that attitude shift where they're like, yeah, we love you guys coming, like, you're great fun, like, you're good for our business, like, that's always good to see.
So I got, like, one more question. So I know you kind of came in a little bit late. We were just talking about conventions and stuff like that. If you have any general questions you want to ask us.
I got no questions. I just like to chime in on what the current topic was.
That's fine. All right, any other last questions or anything else?
What do you think of the value of getting parents in that
room? You guys
I think it's enormously important. So, like, my parents still don't understand anime. I'll never convince them that it's cool. We've watched a couple things together, but, like, overall, they still don't get why I like it. But the one thing is, like, they know I enjoy it. They know that it's a good outlet for me. They know that it's taken me places. Like, I was a club president. I got to, like, it's helped me in my life in various ways. So, you know, I think getting your parents to, like, not necessarily understand anime, but, like, be appreciative of, like, having this outlet, having, like, a creative thing or something in your life is always good. And I think, like, parents that are open to that are always going to be, like, I could say better parents.
Yeah.
It always makes me so happy to see my friends who have become parents showing anime to their kids.
Yeah.
Like, age-appropriate anime, like Cheese Sweet Home and stuff like that. It's just neat to see that parents and kids can share something together. My parents are the same as yours. I remember before I met my husband, I dated the guy. I brought him home to my parents, and they all made fun of me for watching anime. So now I love the guy. That was a really awkward dinner. Yeah, but it's not so much. It doesn't matter anymore what my parents think of anime. I'm old enough that it doesn't matter. Really, now it's getting the parents of people who are kids today involved, and maybe it's seeing these things and seeing what it's like, and we all fear of this behavior.
Yeah, I mean, there is that stereotypical, it's the parent that was dragged in here against their will. So, but the parent I love seeing at a convention is the one that speaks anime to the other parents, so they're the chaperone. So they're like, I like this stuff too. Your son is friends with my son. You know, yes, I know what they're watching. Yes, this is okay. This is what it's about. I can talk to you as a parent. I love seeing the parent that speaks nerd to the rest of the parents that don't get it, because those are the ones that are encouraging the younger generation, as well as making it more of a comfortable environment for those parents that don't, you know, understand it and stuff like that. I would say my second favorite parent after that is the one that says, I don't get it, but it means something to my kid, so that's why I'm here. And those are some of the best people to talk to. And as fans, even if we are parents or not, making that parent feel welcome is so important, because that parent is then going to be like, okay, there's still good people here. They were still nice to me, even though I don't care about this stuff.
So I have a fun story about this. The first year I staffed Anime Boston, of course that's the year that everybody comes up to me and asks, how do I get to this panel? Where is this event? And I'm like, I have no idea. This is my first time in this convention center myself. But there was this interaction I had with a parent who was there with her, I believe, two or three daughters, and they tried to get into a panel that was full. So they were disappointed, and I was glad that I was there. I was like, I'll bring up guidebook. Let's find something else that you can go do. Like, I want to make sure that you get to enjoy the convention, because A, you're here, which is impressive in and of itself. Like, I didn't say that to them, but it's like, yeah. I'm so glad you're here, because a lot of people would be afraid of letting their teenage daughters go to a convention, and the fact that they're there chaperoning them, like, or putting that effort in, is like,
or just dumping, or just dumping them off. Yeah. Call them when it's time to go.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm glad you're here, and I want to make sure that we find something that you'll enjoy. So I spent like a good maybe 5 or 10 minutes going through the schedule with them and saying, hey, I know you missed this, but let's like find some stuff that you will enjoy doing. So that was like a really good experience.
I wish Vince were still here, because he is a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know none of us are parents, but I think we're like the first generation old enough to be parents who understand what anime is.
I think we're the first generation where we have really grown up with anime in the spotlight for pretty much our entire lives. So I think that's going to be a big shift. So
I mean, anime is becoming mainstream. I mean, celebrities are tweeting about anime, so I don't know what that's going to do, but I'm excited to see where it goes. Like, I'm not a gatekeeper. If people want to watch anime, I don't care. Like, if all you do is play sports and watch like one or two anime, awesome. I'll talk to you about the anime you love, because there's enough out there for everyone.
So I think that's where we're going to wrap it up. Thank you guys for coming for the very first AnimeCon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you so much. If you want to check out our podcast, you can find us on www.animecons.tv, or search for AnimeCons TV on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. I think we're on Google Plus, Tumblr and stuff. If you want to tweet at me, I'm just at Nidoki, and once again, thank you to our guests. And where can we find you on the world?
I'm at Lauren in Space, and I also write for my blog otakujournalist.com. Lauren with an N.
Lauren for space.
In space. And I don't really use social media, but you can find me through the co-blog that we run on Humpo 101.
So once again, thank you guys for coming. Enjoy the rest of the con.